We're heading up towards 8 o'clock. It's Monday morning. By the way, we were talking about celebrity curse-offs just now. Jimmy Kimmel did this thing where he got Julia Roberts and Sally Field to use foul language. And I was thinking our first competitors could be Lindiwe Mazibuko and Helen Ziller. That would be fun, right?
I'm sure they've got a few things to get off their chests.
Definitely. There's some stuff going on over there.
Yeah.
Did you read any of these stories that Helen Ziller said in some closed meeting that she made Lindiwe Mazibuko and she's nothing without her? And then Helen fought back and said, I never said that.
We had someone here from, was it the DA's Youth League?
Yeah.
And
Balintuli.
She's had some words with Helen too. Helen calling her a princess or something like that.
Oh, it's fiery in the DA.
Ooh.
Just when you thought the ANC was the only party that did ridiculous and silly things and that they had fractious meetings. Not true. It seems the DA is just as bad. I hate politicians. Oh, a lot of them.
All the same.
They're all terrible. All right, let's go to Beverly. Hey, Beverly.
Hello, Gareth.
Oh, what?
It's Gareth speaking.
Hello, Beverly.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, very well. Good to see you on the TV.
Oh, thank you very much.
But I want to tell you one thing. You're much better now than you were on Arnold.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. You're more friendly, I mean, always. Yeah. But one thing I was asked, you, when are we going to have take your shirt off so we can play drums on your stomach, please?
I don't like diamonds.
No embarrassment. Everybody else does it, so we have to see your stomach and play drums.
Beverly, how old are you?
Sorry?
How old are you?
I'll be 63 on the 23rd of May.
Oh, sure. Wow.
That's my target market right there. Lick those lips.
Sorry, I can't hear you.
Nothing. Don't worry. Nothing. All good.
Okay.
But thank you very much for your call. I'm glad you're enjoying us more than you do me on Idols.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your show.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Quick in and out. She said what she needed to say.
Yeah. Doesn't waste time.
Problem with old people is they wake up very early.
That's,
all old people.
Look, 63 isn't that old. Let's be clear here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's what she wants to do to you that bugs me.
You get good 63s and you get bad 63s, you know?
I think she could be a good 63.
Thank you, Beverly. Thank you. I'm glad Beverly's enjoying us. I think she particularly liked Damon taking his shirt off. That's what I'm reading into this. So Jonathan Witt is here. We're talking about a show he'll be doing soon. He's a doctor and he'll be giving free medical advice to people, and then the proviso is that they don't go off and kill themselves, right?
Basically, yeah. They're, hopefully.
You're going to try to make them not do stupid things.
Well, that's difficult with most people.
You've been working, and I follow you on Twitter, so you've been working at Krisani Baragwanath.
Finished there quite a while back. But
where are you now?
I'm freelancing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because you saw some amazing stuff there, man.
At Barra, yeah.
You wouldn't tweet, obviously, unethical information, but you'd say, you know, so many people come in tonight with stabbings and...
Yeah, it's a war zone.
Yeah.
It's a war zone.
Where it's always never a dull day in South Africa, huh?
Not in healthcare, that's for sure.
What's the most difficult thing you've had to deal with in the ER?
Sure, Gareth. Kids, probably.
No, that's horrible.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
Sorry to bring
asked.
It down, but...
Yeah, sure. I was having a nice day until then.
Doesn't
get much harder than that.
Yeah, the kids can be quite rough. Trauma side of that as well. Kids getting hit by cars and things like that.
No,
be a bit rough. But there's good to it as well, because you can do good and you can save them
some
sometimes.
Yeah. All right. How about the most disgusting thing you've seen?
Sure, the most disgusting. There's a couple of those.
Don't be shy.
Necrotizing fasciitis is quite disgusting.
Tell us what necrotizing fasciitis is. That sounds really good.
I have a plantar fasciitis. Should I be worried if it's necrophiliaking?
No, not yet.
Oh, good.
Only if it starts crawling up your leg.
Ooh.
Basically, infection in the fascia of your, so it's below the skin, above the muscle, and essentially it's the really toxic. Bacteria and infection that
must smell horrendous.
The smell is terrible. In fact, when you operate on it, you don't get the smell out of your nose for about 2 days. Mm. You think it's on your hands, but you had gloves. So then you keep sniffing your fingers and you think that smells terrible. It's actually the molecules are stuck in your nose. It's really horrible.
What? Okay, wait. If I have it, how will I know? What does it look like?
Oh, no. Your leg turns green and black and And then when we take you to theatre, we cut you open, and the muscle is just sort of dead.
Putrefying.
And necrotizing, exactly.
Yeah.
And it smells like
how do you
nothing.
Get this?
It's like Aspen juice times 1,000.
Whoa.
Who does this happen
yeah,
to?
Yeah, do you catch it?
Who should you be careful of? Like, who should I stay away from?
No, it's just if you are doing dodgy things. I had a patient who was
like
a drug addict,
okay.
injecting things, and the needles weren't clean.
So if you're a heroin addict, there's a
Look, if your heroin's good, then you're fine.
But there's a high likelihood. If your heroin's not good, there's a high likelihood you'll get fasciitis.
If your heroin's mixed with some funny stuff, then there's a fair chance you might pick up
in
something
like
that.
In other words, if you've got a dealer from Salt River in Cape Town, you might be a little...
I don't know what the areas are. I don't know where you get good heroin. I'm just going to stick to that.
What happens if you don't treat it and you just let it fester?
You'll die.
You'll die. Okay.
You'll die.
All right.
Let it fester.
No, once it gets everywhere, then you start shutting down organs and kidneys. And
hey, by the way, I hope you're enjoying your breakfast this morning. I hope you're having a really good time eating the porridge.
Oats. Roll it up.
We always seem to discuss the disgusting stuff.
Scrambled eggs.
But that's what people are interested in. Yeah, for some reason, people are still, they're embarrassed about health problems that we know other humans have had and other humans continue to have. Everybody always thinks it's just me and I'm going to be the freak and that's why I shouldn't talk about this. But actually, we should just get on with it and go to the doctor, sort it out. In fact, the sooner you do anything like that, usually the better.
Yeah, so late presentation is a huge problem. And it's a massive South African problem, actually. So a lot of patients present way too late. And I don't know what it is. We have a very poor health-seeking behavior in terms of our population. They have a stroke, and then they come to hospital 3 days later, and they're like, yeah, on,
and they're turning
on,
in circles.
On Sunday.
I can just keep turning in circles.
And drooling.
Surrender.
Confirm I have no patience after this. It's just we're very, very poor at seeking help, and we often come at the last minute, which makes things a lot more difficult.
Not
That's
me.
Why a hypochondriac like me balances this all out.
Yeah, except you're the irritating one, you see.
I'm like
Dr.
Google.
Exactly, and then you come in and you're like, I've got a little bit of a sore throat, and I'm like, well,
but I'm usually right. I think I have a plantar fasciitis and a Morton's neuroma on the left foot, and it's right.
Maybe we don't know what's wrong with you, and we're like, let's just go with that.
Oh, you're just placating me.
You see, there's no doctor who scores 100% on every exam.
Mm.
No, well, you know how it is, Gareth. 50% a pass and 51% a distinction. 52% means you're ignoring your friends.
the thing about people who check everything, because like my dad also does what Leanne does. He goes to the doctor and tells the doctor what's wrong with him.
Now, doctors don't like that, hey, because you've taken out half the fun.
I go to the doctor, I say, there's this problem, like when I hurt my elbow. And then he goes, let me check that out. And he looks at me and he goes, no, it's fine. And then I go back to him 3 months later and I've had x-rays done. And I go, no, actually, we've got a fracture here. And then he goes, oh, sorry. But by then,
misdiagnosis.
By then, luckily for me, it had healed. I mean, it still makes a funny noise if I do certain things, like if I open a can of something, it goes over here.
Yeah,
it's probably not good.
Probably should have been attended to.
Anyway, it's too late now.
You're not a tennis player. It's fine.
Yeah, no. It's too late now.
You're presenting too late.
Much too late. So someone just sent a picture of them eating their porridge while they're watching us. Isn't that nice? So they're not put off by the... Give them something more revolting. Let's see if we can put this person off
porridge.
Their food.
It looks like a vaginal infection.
Well, okay, see...
So what happens with those?
That's it right there.
Because a lot of people seem to think that, you know, if you're a gynecologist, for example, that you get all the fun work. That's not true. You never see it in its healthy state.
Yeah, well, I mean, Damon was talking Beaver Hunt earlier, and they weren't all nice. So, I can tell you...
No, sure.
You know,
and if someone's got a problem down there... That's the last time you want to be involved.
Yeah, it can be quite a hazardous area. So,
the genitals are a very... there's a sensitive thing. People are very scared to...
Well, they present really
late
on those.
Some of them just walk into the room and you go, hi, good morning, and they just plop it on the desk type of thing.
Wow.
Well, it's a sooner you get it done with, the better kind of mentality. What are you going to do?
My buddy walks into the doctor... All right, I'm ready for you.
All right, Doc, let's just get this over and done with.
Admittedly, the ladies are better than the men.
Sure.
Oh, really?
The men have no shame.
Yeah.
Really? Just whip it out, huh?
Yeah, whip it out, and you know, it can be the third infection for the, you know, in the month.
Oh.
Okay. What are South Africans most prone to getting besides the common cold?
And AIDS.
Okay. And AIDS.
Just generally.
Yeah. What is our biggest ongoing?
Well, on the one side, we've got a triple burden of disease, which is HIV, TB, and we've got trauma, which is quite a big problem. And then coming up, once we get over the HIV problem, which probably will in the next 10 to 20 years, we're going to have a massive issue with hypertension, diabetes, metabolic syndrome.
Is that because we're eating badly?
Probably, although, I mean, that's
I don't want to
debate.
Get into a Tim Noakes discussion.
Yeah, I don't know if he's listening. Hi, Tim.
are but you one probably, of those people who agree with him or disagree with him?
I disagree with Tim.
Okay.
So you say we should be eating carbs?
No, it's not that we should be eating lots of carbs. There are obviously some carbs you should avoid, and good carbs and bad carbs. But I don't believe in his concept of low carb, high fat, and I'm more worried about the high fat concept. In that he claims that cholesterol has no effect and that it's a big pharma conspiracy to try and get us to take certain drugs to lower cholesterol.
But isn't this what happens in the medical industry? Like 10 years ago, they were all preaching one thing. 20 years later, it's something completely different. 20 years from now, you'll probably be saying, I was wrong a decade ago.
Yeah,
this is what happens.
We might, except the thing is that a lot of what you hear is what the fad is. So who can get onto... I suppose I'm a bad example, but who can get onto television and who can get onto radio and who gets picked up by the New York Times? Whereas there's a lot of evidence around all this stuff, and the majority of us follow what the best evidence at the time is.
Well, you should if you've got any brains.
You know, I mean, the reality on diets is there isn't a lot of evidence on any of them.
Diet ever become so complicated? Humans have known what to eat. We've survived to adulthood throughout history, and we've had nuts and we've eaten poisonous things off trees. Some people have died. It's not complicated, though.
I'm so tired of people telling me what to eat.
Eating. I mean, you never know whether the butter's bad for you, the margarine's bad for you. Then you don't know whether the bread, you should have the bread, and you feel bad. You have a sandwich, and you take the bread off because now you don't want to have the carbohydrates. Enough.
Absolutely.
Just eat when you're hungry.
Well, now they're calling sugar the next heroin. Which is also controversial.
Yeah, sugar's big at the moment in an anti-way.
Damon just gave up fizzy drinks.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
He hasn't had fizzy drinks for how long?
3 weeks.
Right, you saw his svelte athletic body just a moment ago.
Yeah, you can see it's worked.
But he's a lot better than he was.
Well,
not after the last 3 weeks, but give him a year. Yeah.
He's a yo-yo dieter, you know. Mm. So
Fair enough.
He's up and down. He's up and down.
At least the exercises. You know, eat less, run more. That was good advice.
It's my diet. Hey, here's someone called Spanny says you saved his life. Hello?
Hi there.
Yeah, hey, man.
Doctor, I don't know if you can remember at the Discim 21, I'm the dad, I'm the dude whose life you saved.
Yeah, Spanny, I very much remember in January.
What did he do?
I think how casual he looks about it.
What happened to you?
Well, I ran at 21, and a few minutes later... about 15 minutes later, while I was waiting for my girlfriend to finish, I had a massive heart attack. Super fit, eating properly, not doing anything wrong, and it's all about genetics.
Yeah. Well, you were running? Is that what you said?
I finished.
That's why you had the heart attack. You should never run.
Not really. I'm extremely fit. My cholesterol levels are low, but it seems like if my body just collects the cholesterol, it doesn't let go of it. My cholesterol level was 5.1. Doing everything right, so you can do everything right, and genetics grabs you where it shouldn't. Eh?
So Jonathan saved your life. What did he do?
Well, ask him. He can tell you.
What did you do?
He won't remember. There was a team of us, and he collapsed. He went into cardiac arrest. We did CPR. We shocked him. So, you know,
defibrillator. That's it. Okay.
Took the defibrillator, shocked him, did CPR for about 2.5 minutes, and he then came back, and we took him to hospital, and he ended up getting stents, I think, in his heart.
Well, there we go. Lucky you. Stents in your heart.
Man.
Hey, we're glad you're still around.
Well, if it had happened anywhere else, I don't think I would have made it. It just seemed to have happened at the race where there was a good medical team. If it had happened 10 minutes before while I was out or 10 minutes later when I was walking towards my car, I wouldn't have made it then.
So was he dead for 2 minutes, basically?
Essentially, he didn't have a heartbeat, so clinically speaking, Whoa. He was dead.
What do you eat?
What do I eat?
Yeah.
I'm very, very health conscious. I eat mostly game meat.
Is this guy in shape?
Yeah, he is quite in shape. Then I think he's running. Nine comrades.
All right, thanks, dude.
I've done 13 of them, yeah.
Ah, okay.
All right. Well done, Spanny. I'm glad you're alive.
Well, so am I,
All right, bro. Thanks.
Thanks for phoning.
Bye.
And doctor, thanks a lot, huh?
Cheers, man.
If you could be a little less successful, Earth wouldn't be so full.
Yeah, this is a problem with being a doctor, is we're actually part of the problem. Also, because the stupid people we save.
Environmentally irresponsible of you. All right, we're coming back with Dr. Jonathan Witt in a moment. Got lots of calls. Sarah and Andrea, I promise I'll come to you just now. It's good to, people want advice for free. They're cheap. What can we say? So we'll try to help them remain cheap. That's what we do.
The Gareth Cliff Show on CliffCentral.com.
1,000 kisses. Mm-mm-mm. It's called Never Too Much. And Luther Vandross used to eat so much chicken, he would order a 21-piece barrel from KFC before he'd have a show.
He died of a heart attack, didn't he?
He down on that. Yeah, he had a heart attack.
There you go.
He's lying comatose for months. All right, we're back. Comedy Central. It's just after 8 o'clock. Dr. Jonathan Witt is going to be starting a medical show here on Cliff Central a little bit later on. There are lots of people who want to speak to you. But before that, very important, and I know that you're saving people's lives and things, but Game of Thrones. I'm obsessed with this show. Who isn't?
I'm not.
Biggest, best show on television. Now, Damon says people are on episode 5. If I do episode 6, I'm spoiling it. Is that the point?
Yeah. Yes.
So I can't actually do this?
No. We haven't watched episode 6 yet on net.
How long have they had?
I don't know. I think there's just one episode to go and you'll be caught up. Maybe I should save it for next week.
Save it for later, rather.
All right. I can't even give you a preview because then I'll give things away.
Yeah, no, don't be that right, spoiler alert guy.
Okay, because this has already happened in America, so we'll get onto that later. Anyway, we'll get to that in a second. First, Danielle, Sarah, Andrea, they all want to speak to Dr. Jonathan Witt. They all want to talk about eating right.
Oh, God.
Oh, here we go. We're going to get advice from a whole lot of people about how to eat.
Let's go.
Andrea, Sarah, or Danielle, who do you choose?
Take Andrea. A pick. Alphabetical order.
Okay. Andrea, you're on.
Hi, it's Andrea.
Oh, well, all right. Andrea, go for it.
I have no advice. I just wanted to find out something. My husband last year at 44 had a heart attack, and his cholesterol was 9. He's now been on statins for 8 months, and he changed his diet completely, and it's gone down to 7.5.
Okay.
So he's like, well, if he's not taking medication, which he wasn't before, and he's changed his diet, this tells him there's no point in changing the diet. He might as well just eat what he wants and take the statins.
No,
what
it was because
think,
it sounds like you were the one who gave him the heart attack. You're being annoying about all this food and cholesterol.
Yes, I do annoy him. It's true.
I think it's firstly important to understand that it's not just about your cholesterol. And there's many things. It's multifactorial when you're talking about any kind of disease, but specifically cardiac disease. Mm-hmm. So, I wouldn't suggest he eats whatever he wants and just takes a statin. It doesn't really work that way. You kind of have to attack everything. So diet, exercise. Is he exercising?
He's exercising, but once a week he goes for like a 45-minute swim. So he thinks he's highly active now.
Okay, at least 3 times a week for at least 30 minutes.
Binge exercising. I do that every
you
second
go
Monday
check
I go to gym.
You better go and check on your husband. I can hear his heart monitor going out of control.
No, there's a strange noise.
I know. Yeah. I don't know where it came from.
I was wondering if it was on your side.
No, it's your husband. Go and check on him.
He's away, so it can't be him.
All right, well, maybe he left his machine lying around.
Yeah, I think he should carry on eating healthy.
Really, he thinks maybe if he goes back to his normal eating, because he now thinks his liver's now producing more cholesterol, and so he thinks it's no point. So I'm just, his cardiologist is so surprised. So I was just thinking, surely that there's something better.
What does his cardiologist say?
He's now saying he needs to go and see a specialist because he hasn't seen something like this before. Where
your husband is an anomaly.
Yeah, your husband sounds like he's above the 99th percentile. So in other words, he's not, he doesn't fit in the normal population.
He's a freak.
But I certainly wouldn't suggest that he eats whatever he wants. His cholesterol's still a bit high anyway. If he's had one heart attack, he's at risk of having another, regardless.
Yeah, he said I should just take out better life insurance on his life, really.
Well, have you checked that his will is in order, more importantly?
Yeah, it's funny, but it's not when you have a two-year-old, you know?
Well, you know, you want to make sure the two-year-old's provided for. You've got to make sure you get all that money if something happens.
No, you're going to make sure that he stays around for a couple of years.
Well, you can't guarantee that. You never know. You had one heart attack already, you know?
I know. Just out of the blue.
Do you ever look at other men and go, that could be a good second husband?
I don't know. I'm hot, but with three children, you know? I'm joking.
You sound pretty good. All right. Thank you, Andrea.
Thanks, Gareth.
Okay.
Thanks,
love you. Bye-bye. Bye. Oh, well. Thank God she didn't give us food advice.
No, they want advice.
Oh, but wait. Here comes Sarah. Here comes Sarah with some food advice. Sarah, hello. Sarah?
It's not actually food advice. I just wanted to say I'm 35. I've been a type 1 diabetic since I was 9.
Mm-hmm.
And only sort of in the last 2 years did I start eating right. I mean, I've had years and years and years of doctors and dietitians telling me what I must eat, what I mustn't eat.
Yeah.
I've now cut out carbs, but mainly just bread, rice, potatoes, and pasta.
All the good stuff.
But you're still eating some carbs.
I veg with the carbs. But, I mean, it works fantastically for me. I take very low insulin doses.
But you sound like you're about to burst into tears.
Okay, well, good. If it works for you, that's great. The reality on diets is that every single diet that's been looked at, including LCHF, shows that any diet you go on will make you lose weight. The problems with the LCHF clan, and they call it a revolution, is that they claim it's the only way really to eat and that it will save your life from many, many diseases, please. And they have no evidence for that.
It's the only thing that works for me. It's really? The only thing.
What, LCHF?
I think it's whatever works for each person.
What's that?
It's whatever works for each person. Mm. Everybody is unique. Our bodies all have different nutritional requirements.
You sound a little bit fragile, I've got to tell you. I don't think you're eating right.
She could have low sugar. She is diabetic.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. Good luck to you, Sarah. Thank you. Oh.
Yeah, I really think it is whatever works for you. And I think the first time they started tailor-making diets for people, it was that whole craze where they tested your blood type.
Yeah.
If you were this type, you needed to eat more meat or whatever.
Yeah.
I think they had an idea there. I don't agree with it. But the idea is that it's whatever works for you. Everyone's different.
Sort of, but everyone's not that different. So we're all genetically and physiologically the same.
We're omnivorous.
In many ways.
And our body could process pretty much anything except concrete.
And grass. We're not good at processing grass anymore.
Yeah. Well,
evolution sucks.
Our appendix has shrunk.
Yeah.
Our appendix doesn't really do very much anymore.
No, it's actually a real problem. It needs to go.
It does need to go.
Yeah.
But it's not going quickly enough. We need to have more generations for it to disappear completely.
Yeah.
You know what the appendix does? Breaks down cellulose.
Well, I mean,
plant cell walls.
Yeah.
So we don't need that anymore.
No, we don't.
Because we cook all our vegetables.
We cook it to death.
Exactly. We don't have any reason to have an appendix anymore. Mm. And all it does is, because it's a one entry and exit hole, there's nothing that goes into the appendix. It's just this little thing. It fills up with
stuff,
gunk. And then you got a problem.
Yeah, it's so inconvenient when it just bursts.
It's infected.
Yeah.
I had a family member who had bladder cancer. Her bladder was removed, and she had a stoma, which is an opening.
Mm-hmm.
And to line the stoma, they used her appendix because it was the most natural to her body and it wouldn't have been rejected.
And there's no use for it, so she's not going to lose anything.
Yeah, and so there is a use for it in the end. Keep it around. You might be able to fashion a new ear or something.
You could have a whole, you could have a nose. Your nose could be made of your appendix.
Mm-hmm.
You could have a new sphincter built out of your appendix.
Yeah, penis enlargement. You never know.
What about what about plastic surgery? I mean, is that becoming more and more common? You know?
Nice eye job, Maps.
Cosmetics stuff.
I think cosmetics is certainly, you know, the Botox side of things and fillers and all that stuff is certainly becoming quite prevalent. Plastics, I don't know as much because it's all cash-based business.
Let's stop talking nonsense. What is the most profitable thing in medicine? If you're a doctor, why would you become a doctor specializing in this? Where's the most money?
Radiology.
Really?
And probably ophthalmology.
Mm-hmm.
So, and probably dermatology.
Really?
So, yeah. so it's not even plastics, hey? Because I thought that plastics was quite
high. No, the surgeons generally work very, very hard for their money. So they do well, but they work 18 hours a day to do well.
Ophthalmology, radiology, and dermatology.
Probably,
that's where the cash is to be made.
And pathology, sorry. But those guys, that's money.
Sure. Like they just work in a lab.
No, because then what you do is you own a lab, and then you get lab techs to work for you, and computers interpret the results, and only the really hectic stuff you have to look at.
There's no work at all.
So
you really looked into this being lazy.
Yeah, the problem is that I don't like any of those things, so unfortunately
hey, Danielle,
not for me.
Yes.
What do you want to say to Dr. Witt?
Hi. In 2011, I was diagnosed with a rare disease called myasthenia gravis.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds horrible. What is that?
Sorry?
I can smell you from here. What is that?
do you know what? It's a rare muscle disease. I lose muscle control in my face and my limbs.
So you twitch and carry on?
Yeah, I didn't get that far. I just got to the part where I could not use my muscles at all. I couldn't get off the couch or the bed. I couldn't eat. I couldn't swallow.
Jeez, what a mess.
Due to the cortisone I was on and the lack of mobility, I naturally picked up quite a bit of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on every fad diet there was available until I discovered that nothing works but eating right and eventually start moving, get a bit of exercise in, whether it's walking, stretching. And today I do CrossFit and I've lost 20 kilos and I don't even have problems with my MG anymore.
Be careful of CrossFit, though.
Very good. Nicely done. I'm very proud of you. That's awesome.
Thank you very much.
Why should you be careful of CrossFit, Dr. Witt?
If you overdo it, you can cause renal failure.
Oh, gosh.
Kidneys.
Oh, yeah.
No, carry on doing your CrossFit, but just don't do it like 4 times a day like some people do sometimes, and then they end up...
Yeah, but if those people... We'll be better off without those people. Don't warn them.
Yeah, but you see, then we save them.
If someone's so stupid that they go and do CrossFit 4 times a day, good. Clear out the gene pool. Get them out of there. But well done to you, Danielle.
Thank you very much. I'd just like to share that. Thank you.
All right. You see, a story of health.
Mm.
It's a good story. How about these people who, since we're talking about the CrossFit people, these guys who are just muscle. They're just all they do is they eat protein, and they take these pre-workout things. It makes them red in the face, and the veins are all popping out. That can't be good for you.
I think if you're doing it naturally, then it's not the end of the world.
What's
unnatural?
So if you're taking steroids and things, then it's problematic.
What happens to people who take steroids?
The thing is, they build muscle, but they don't build the cardiovascular capacity to deal with that. So they're actually quite unfit, even though they look very buff and big and so on. So their heart is not actually coping well with feeding their body.
And the balls, doesn't it shrink the balls?
Yeah, it shrinks the balls. Steroids.
Shrinks the balls. What else?
Acne,
yeah, back knee.
Yeah, bad.
They get the back knee.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Back knee. Gotta go for back shoulders.
They become very aggressive, don't they?
They can get very aggressive. Erectile dysfunction as well.
That will make you aggressive, yeah.
That makes them up angry, yeah.
That's funny. All right. You see, I only ask this because I'm sick of seeing these guys who are so much bigger than me at the gym, and they think they're so important and they've done so well.
Yeah, I'll just leave them to be.
No, I don't go near them. Yeah, don't worry.
No, they're dangerous.
Jesus, stay the hell away, man. No, they pick up weights that weigh as much as me in one hand. One hand.
Yes, yeah.
Stay away.
That's kind of the point.
There should be a separate part of the gym where they put genetically modified people in.
If you stand directly in front of them, they can't touch you. Because their arm
they
doesn't...
They can't reach. Yeah. That's true.
But what happens when they turn... What happens when they're in their 50s and they're not training as hard? Like, does it backfire on their bodies?
No, they just lose sloppy. The muscle mass, and then the skin often becomes kind of soft.
Yeah, like they get flappy Oprah arms. What is the biggest health challenge for a doctor who's involved in South African hospitals? And I mean, there must be some things that keep coming in. You said trauma just now.
Yeah, look, I've got an interest in that. So.
Gunshots, blades, what's causing these traumas?
So there's car less, there's the prevalence is towards less sort of shootings now.
Oh, good. That's so good news, right?
We've sort of on a downward trend since the 90s.
That's very good
news. There's still a fair amount, so more than, you know, the average sort of city, but, well, that's Johannesburg. But stabbings are quite up there. You know, it's a weekend game to do, you know, stab your friend.
This is the binge drinking thing that South Africa has, the problem. And I'm sure a lot of this is alcohol related.
Yeah, no, it's undoubtedly fueled by alcohol. And the weird thing is it's almost, well, not almost always, but it's very often not strangers. So you very often treat the guy who got stabbed and his friend who he stabbed back.
Mm.
And they know each other and
it's classy.
Yeah, basically.
Basically, it means that we're hanging around with good people.
Well,
good people,
you know,
flock together. hang on, here's Kay. Hello, Kay. Kay?
How's it, Gareth?
Is your name Kay?
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
Like, I just want to ask the doctor, I've heard a lot of stories about coffee. I'm a coffee addict. How many cups of coffee are you supposed to drink in a day?
Sound like you're buzzing like hell, man.
Okay, so no exact number, but coffee in moderation is actually can be good for you. So I would say, you know, a couple of cups a day is fine, but if you're having sort of 8, 9, 10 cups of coffee a day, I'd probably cut back a bit. That can also have its own effects because of the caffeine, which can be quite bad for you in too much.
How many cups of coffee do you have in a day?
I have like 10.
Yeah, that's,
okay,
that's probably a bit much.
Yeah. All right, slow down there. All right.
Halve it.
Let me cut it to 5.
Yeah, cut it to 5.
That would be a good idea.
To start. Oh, you've
been up all night. All right, thanks, dude.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Some people need it to get through. Hey, if he's using coffee instead of something else, that's better.
It's disgusting. You shouldn't. Nobody should have 10 cups of coffee a day. That's very bad. Surely you... Don't we have an off switch? Don't humans, when we've eaten 300-500-gram steaks, we go, it's enough now? When we've... had
we do have an
when we
switch.
Had 15 potatoes, don't we go, it's enough now? Why doesn't that happen?
We do have it, but we override it.
How do we override it? When I'm full, I can't carry on eating. How do other people get that right?
So you've never said, oh, I'm so full, but I have to finish the steak, it's so delicious?
No.
Well, you're very lucky.
If you're full, you're full, you can't carry on eating. I'm going to ask you about medical marijuana and cannabis oils just now. People are asking
about
that.
People are
using
all my topics for all my shows.
Let's find out. All right. It's 8:30. Can you believe that? Yeah, that's all people want to talk about is the drugs and the eating.
Oh,
yeah.
They want to make sure that they're not harming themselves.
Oh, we haven't got to the sex yet.
Well, they have the...
That's coming, trust me.
Marijuana.
Excuse me.
All right. If you're listening to us on Cliff Central streaming, this is especially for you. We were talking about Larry King just a while ago. And here's Larry King. I found this. It was a call that someone in America put together using clips from the Larry King show.
Hello?
Detroit, hello.
Who's this?
Larry King.
Larry King.
Are you gay?
No, are you?
Oh. You said you groped someone.
What, are you out of your fucking mind or something?
Well, so I went to another area. I took a phone call. They asked a question of you.
Yeah, well, I didn't call you. You called me.
I didn't mean to be inappropriate. I just thought it was a logical question.
It's not that fucking logical. Why are you calling me?
Hey, I did not certainly mean to ask you a question. You don't want to take phone calls, right?
Not from you. I don't even know who the fuck you are.
What are you going to do next?
What am I going to do next? If I find out who you are, I'm going to come kick your fucking ass.
Who are you talking to?
Talking to you.
No one told me.
You better cut the shit out, because I'm going to fucking find out who you are and beat the fuck out of you. Hello?
We're back.
Hey, listen, you motherfucker. Don't fucking call me back. You call me back again, I'm going to fucking find out you. I'm going to come grope you.
What are you going to do next?
You call me again, I'm going to fucking stuff your balls on your throat. I'll fucking poke out your eyes. I'll skull fuck you to death, motherfucker.
Are you gay?
Are you fucking gay? Because you don't want to sound like a fucking homo.
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to you. Get the fucking cum out of your ass, you shithead.
You said you groped someone.
Why don't you go suck somebody's dick and drop dead, motherfucker?
Just Blaze. Yeah.
I'm immaculate, come through masculine. Wide body frame, E-dubs the name. Whoa, in the field of rap, I'm superb, I'm fly. I should be in the sky with birds. I ride 20-inch rims when I lean, yo.
Hey, yo, them tins.
I know I keep them clean, though. Come through, storm the block like El Nino. Scoop up an Arabic chick before she close.
She goes.
Those my people.
Yeah, them broads from Puerto Rico, them keep.
Watch how the E-Lo 64. Black rag, black interior, ship on the float. Burn out. I do it for them kids, they hop on the turnstile. The E going wild.
Yo, like them white chicks on a DVD.
Yeah, I'm worldwide, MTV and BET.
Yeah.
Love this song. Apparently that's it's like Hindi. He's singing. Very nice.
Yeah.
React, Eric Sermon. And it's just after 8:30. We're gonna go live on Comedy Central. You get the good stuff though on Cliff Central, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. Yeah, good morning. And I hope you had a good weekend. If anyone has any good weekend stories, it could be a medical thing. You might have done something over the weekend that could have a medical part of it that you might want to discuss with Dr. Jonathan Witt, who's with us this morning. But also over the weekend, in case you didn't see it, they decided on who the survivor is on Mnet's Survivor Champions, I think it's called. It's been a terrific season. It's been really, really interesting. Corne Kricher was also voted the most popular captain, and one of his team members won. Graham won $1 million. And Corne is the most popular guy on the show. I mean, are we surprised? Not at all. He's a terrific guy. Hey, Corne, how are you?
Hi, how's it going? Nice to meet you, man.
Thanks, man, and well done.
Yeah, thank you very much. You know, it was a bit of a random one because, you know, you never know what the public feel and how they feel about your captaincy. So I'm grateful that the people actually voted.
People loved you, man. You were a great captain. Your team loved you, and it was a terrific show. So well done on that front.
Yeah, thanks very much. You know, I think when you look at it on TV, it looks quite easy. You know, it looks, you know, amazingly beautiful on the island, and it's that contrast. You know, it's how tough it is, and you know how hot it is, and you can't really see and experience that on TV. But boy, it was an unbelievable experience.
I was quite surprised at how many of those Salvation Cup challenges you lost to Mark Fish, though. I really thought that you'd beat him in all of them, and you didn't.
Yeah, you know, Mark's an amazing competitor, you know, and, you know, I ran the Otter, no excuses, but I ran the Otter Trail Run before I went into Survivor, which wasn't the best preparation because I was more a marathon runner than a rugby player.
Right.
And, you know, he went in, I think, about 8 kilograms heavier than I did, and I think towards the end, that really counted, you know, when you got a bit of extra weight to carry around. But, yeah, he's a tough man and a tough competitor and a guy that I really started to enjoy as the program progressed and we got to know each other really well. He's a great guy.
Corne, did you and Mark have to live like the survivors or did you get to have like a burger or two here and there? I mean, were you also a part of the game?
No, we were probably in the game, you know, for 18 days until the merge. After that, we did move to the main island where we were in a rustic lodge. You know, nothing, no lap of luxury really, but at least a decent bed to sleep on and some food. You know, so. But the first 18 days, we were right in there, no food, no special treatment, and I think you could see by how much weight I lost. You know, that it was the real deal.
Why would you do that? I mean, I know you got $500,000 out of it last night, but why would you do this? It's a horrible thing to do to your body.
You know, you're right, because I asked myself that question many times on the island, actually.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you're so hungry and you're nauseous and the feeling you have of just dizziness and, you know, energy, it's unbelievable, the feelings and the emotions you go through. But one of the reasons why I did it was, you know, I've always led teams and people and in very easy and sort of favorable circumstances, you know, and here I had the opportunity to go out and lead a tribe of 10 members and under incredibly harsh circumstances where nothing was in your favor and everybody was pulling in a different direction, you know. So it tested my leadership skills in a big way and hopefully I've grown out of that and I've learned a lot about myself but also about how to lead other people.
You happy Graham won?
I'm extremely happy he won. You know, I really wanted somebody to win in Seletane, obviously my tribe, and ultimately that happened. But if I look at how he played, and he really deserves the title of the Ultimate Survivor, and it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. And I think he'll wear the title, you know, and do justice to the title of Ultimate Survivor.
What are you up to at the moment, now that you've finished with this silly TV show? You've got other things going on that keep you very, very busy, right?
Yeah, I said no to the TV show because I've got my own advertising company, and I put up billboards around the country. And, you know, it was a month away from work and a month away from the family. So I first said no. And then, you know, after a little bit of convincing from their side, in the end, I did agree to do it. And I think, you know, I'm a better person for it, and I've learned a lot. And I think it's done quite well for my brand and put me back on the map. You know, kids had forgotten who Corne Kriecher was. You know, I was Corne Kriecher, the Springbok captain. Now I'm Corne Kriecher, the survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. It's amazing how fickle people are. They do forget these things, and they forget all the work you put in while you were Springbok captain.
Yeah, for sure.
You have to keep milking this machinery of publicity, unfortunately.
For sure. You know, you got to keep at it. And, you know, one thing about Survivor, it was a risk. You know, you put yourself out there, and you basically open yourself up big time to who you are as a person. Because we were talking about it last night, you know, does Survivor, you know, push you to change, you know, sort of your moral grounds and
yeah, because there's all the lying and people
exactly
trying to deceive each other the whole time.
But the question last night was, you know, is it really like something that changes you, or is it something that actually just reveals who you really are deep down? And that was quite an interesting chat last night that a lot of the people had. And Heike, one of the previous winners, also said, you know, he thinks it just reveals your true character when everything gets taken away and the pressure really gets on and gets squeezed. You know, the real person comes out. So I was interested to see what kind of characters came out of the game.
Well, man, well done, and thanks for talking to us this morning.
Thanks very much.
Next time you're up here,
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, next time you're up here, come and visit us.
I'd love to.
All right, awesome. Thank you, Corne. Nice to speak to you, man.
Ciao.
Yeah, you have any dietary advice for him? Because he's got to get some kilos on. How do you pack on kilos quickly? Just eat everything.
Protein.
Really? Is that the thing to do? Okay. Quick question from Charles. Is Dr. Witt married?
From Charles?
Yeah. Charles is obviously
maybe he's asking for his sister.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Well, maybe it's Charles.
Maybe he's got a hot mom.
I am not yet married, but I will be.
Okay. Ooh. Very exciting. Very good. You're engaged.
I am engaged.
You're engaged to be married. Ooh, very exciting. Someone says, why is weed bad for you? It's a plant. It's just as good as smoking dried out basil. Isn't that true?
Heroin, cocaine, they all come from...
plants?
Yeah. So, no. Weed, look, it's obviously a big topic at the moment.
Sure.
Up for debate. A lot of places are legalizing it. So, it's like any substance. It has its effects and...
What's your feeling? Mostly negative.
Mostly negative. It's like any drug. I don't really see the reason. And if you want to take it to get high and you want to get stoned, then great. Then just at least admit that. One of the big problems I have with the weed argument at the moment is it's make it legal because people with cancer need it.
Yeah.
No, they don't. There's lots of other drugs which are far better than that for controlling pain, for controlling vomiting. Mm. So
not a fan, huh, Leanne?
Well, what about when people say, but you're a doctor and you administer drugs? Yes, a prescription, but they're still drugs.
Yeah, so, and I administer those drugs knowing that every single one of them has certain effects and there's dangers to each and every single one of them. And when you get given a drug by your doctor, they should be telling you, I'm giving you this and these are the side effects. These are the things that could happen so that you accept risk. Because nothing comes without risk. And that's all medicine is, risk versus benefit on every treatment we do.
I've always been taught that, you know, smoking marijuana can alter your mind chemicals and it can affect you for the rest of your life. You could become depressive.
Absolutely. So we've got major psychiatric – you asked about health problems. We've got huge psychiatric problems in South Africa. And not just generalized anxiety disorder.
Oh, sure, because that's what Oscar's got, right?
Yeah. Well, that's in theory what he's got. Half of the country has that too. But I've seen patients who become schizophrenic after smoking one joint.
Hmm.
And that's with you for the rest of your life.
It's one of the reasons I don't want to do it. And I certainly am not one of those people who goes around wearing it on my sleeve that I don't take drugs, but I haven't. And one of the reasons I don't do it is two that I can think of right now. The one is that I'm too scared it'll have some kind of really bad effect on me.
Yeah, I'm that guy too. If something bad's going to happen, it's going to happen to me.
Correct. So I'm paranoid. And the other thing is that I might really like it, and then I won't be able to stop.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, there are some drugs that you would really like and probably not be able
I'm
to
sure
stop.
I would. So I think I'll just stay away from it.
Yeah.
But when I'm old one day, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to say, I need you to prescribe everything to me. I'm going to try everything. But when I'm really old and I don't have any responsibilities and I'm starting to lose my
just
mind.
Just leave the propofol to the end. So then,
all of it. I'm going to go the whole hog that I'll make up for all this lost time in between. But I'm not in a hurry to do it now.
No, I think give it a skip for the time
being.
Okay,
so look, what I've learned from you this morning is number one, exercise. Number two, eat, but just, you know, mix it up. Be sensible. Don't eat all the cake. Don't have dodgy garage pies.
Moderation is sure. Still very much a good approach.
And don't drink as much as Leanne.
Binge drinking is
well,
bad.
Well, Leanne's preserving herself. So, I mean, she's a case study.
But
so we'll
what kind of – do you see a lot of really diseased livers?
I haven't been in that sort of area of practice for a long time, so I haven't. But obviously,
how do you know when
liver can take quite a knock? That's the thing, though.
The liver's a very strong.
My liver's
organ.
Made of cement and tar.
Her liver actually walks out of her body sometimes to go and
it's like
some,
I've had enough.
Yeah, it's like I can't do this anymore.
It goes to the dog's bowl and actually drinks some water, and then it crawls back up the stairs into Leanne. It's like, wow, I love water. It's been such a long time since I had some water to drink. Oh, okay. Horrendous.
Doc.
Yeah.
The flu vaccine. Really? Should
yes,
I waste my
work?
Time?
Yeah, yeah. Help us.
Come on. Like, let's settle this now.
Also a controversial topic. So, if you are elderly, then yes. If you have a chronic disease like asthma or you're diabetic, then yes. If you are a healthy sort of middle-aged person or even young person, it's not absolutely necessary. You can get it. It doesn't obviously harm you. There's that debate on vaccines, which are, as I can tell you, harmless. I wouldn't recommend routinely necessarily going out and getting it. If you want, it might protect you against getting flu, obviously. Bearing in mind that the flu vaccine will protect you against one strain of flu for that season. It doesn't protect you against getting other viral infections and other bacterial infections. So you might get the vaccine and then still get sick.
What about Ebola? That's one you're going to look
out
for.
Right?
You don't want that.
Just don't go anywhere north of Zimbabwe, pretty much.
Really? Is that where that's where it comes from?
Up DRC. Up Central Africa way. Well, there's a whole bunch of them. We've got they're all the viral hemorrhagic fevers. So
let's get into some discussion around this. What happens is you start bleeding from the eyes, the ears,
the anus,
the nose.
Press
the
on
skin.
Your skin and it bleeds.
Every hole.
Ugh.
It all just becomes a giant.
Your penis.
You just become a big bag of blood, essentially, and it starts leaking out of all your holes.
And before that happens, you feel really terrible, run a horrible fever.
But you will definitely die. I mean,
Ebola is pretty...
There's no way back from that.
Yeah, no. If you get it,
pretty much
that's
100%
it.
Mortality.
Oh.
So...
What is Lewis syndrome in the liver? Do you know what that is? Someone just asked, what is Lewis syndrome?
I'd have to check.
Maybe,
to be honest.
It's probably Lewis's wife who's trying to stop him from drinking so much. She says, you've got Lewis syndrome.
There we go. And then someone says their highlight of the weekend is Arsenal winning the FA Cup. So obviously, brain disease is a big problem too. So that would be horrible. Well done to Arsenal. But we do have, we like the brain, they still haven't figured out everything going on there, right?
No, they really, really haven't. I mean,
we haven't even scratched the surface, actually. We know anatomically what's going on.
We've named everything and we know what all the bits are, but we're not really entirely sure on how they all connect to each other. And even where we are sure of the connections, we don't know how they influence things necessarily. So we've got the basics down.
There are two areas that are just a little bit complicated, and they're not easy to figure out either. And we will hopefully eventually. I mean, I believe that science is finding answers to things every day. But the brain and the hormones, the glands, the...
Yeah, look, I think more on top of the hormones than we are on the brain. But hormones are also very complex because there's so many different parts of your body that are secreting hormones, and they have many different effects. One hormone can affect several systems and just several ways that you interact as a human, your physiology, and you, mm-hmm. just your interactions.
What's the most boring branch of medicine?
Oh, that depends on who you ask.
Well, what's your most? What do you think is the most boring one?
Probably the stuff I said before. I'm not a big fan of radiology. I'm not a big fan of pathology either. No, I mean there are areas you have to know a bit about, but certainly they're not areas I know masses.
What's the least messy part of medicine? Like the part where you don't have to get your hands dirty at all?
Oh, psychiatry. Mm-hmm. Really? Never touch patients.
That's good.
Yeah, and some of your patients are hilarious, so it's quite
some of them must
fun. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the crazy ones. I mean, you know, I've had could people tell saved, me they all got.
Could you have saved Reva?
Oh, there's a loaded question. I don't think so, because I don't think that any mental illness had anything to do with that.
Yeah, but saving her.
Hey, could I have saved her in terms of her injuries?
Her no, you can't help someone who's got a bullet through their
head. I think that from the sounds of what I've heard, I doubt that. I think the head injury was too severe.
It was fatal.
Yeah.
All right, well, you're going to have some fun taking calls from people in the next hour or so.
Should be
good.
They're
all going to be asking you for free advice. They're going to unload all their personal problems on you. You've asked for this. All I'm going to say is good luck to you.
Thank you.
So listen to Dr. Jonathan Witt on cliffcentral.com through the course of this morning. And if you have any problems you'd like him to address for you, then he can do that. He'll help you. Because he's a nice guy like that. That's what he does.
Yeah, he helps.
He's kind and considerate. Like me.
We've all got problems, eh?
Yeah, for sure. All right, so let's say goodbye to Comedy Central. Because we'll obviously carry on through the day on cliffcentral.com. But Comedy Central's got to come to an end. You can't just stay on here all day. Hour and a half is all you get. I'm not going to give them the full 3 hours. They get an hour and a half. They get up half of the show, and that's it. So,
with you want to hear
the
rest
with peace and love. Yeah. If you want to hear the rest, you will have to go onto cliffcentral.com. Get it on your phone on WeChat. A lot of people have, and they're very satisfied customers. Listen to these people. They're all having the time of their lives. By the way, do you think our studio is working? You like it here?
I like your studio. Well done. And in short time.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we got it together in the nick of time. We're still using Mabali's old school desk.
Yeah.
And we still have this horrible look.
I've heard about it.
I don't love it so much. We're going to figure that out. Small, slow improvements, you know? You got to take your time with these things.
Listen,
settle in. It's only been 2 weeks.
Exactly.
Give us a chance.
Well done.
Anyway. Very, very good. Thanks very much, Dr. Jonathan Witt. Thank you to Corne Kricher. Thanks, Mubs and Leanne. That's a wrap on Comedy Central for this morning, and we will catch you tomorrow from 6 a.m. Nice and bright and early. All right, Jonathan. Thanks, dude. We'll speak to you now. Go and grab a coffee or something. I don't even know if we have any of that. Hopefully.
I think I was offered some.
Oh, really? It's probably horrible.
Oh, your interns are doing their jobs.
Oh, okay, good. That's very good news.
The Gareth Cliff Show. On cliffcentral.com.
You know, I was thinking about Helen Zille and Lindiwe Mazibuko. And remember last week we spoke about how Helen Zille found out after the newspaper found out that Lindiwe was going over to study at Harvard.
She was one of the last people to be told.
Right. And then I think what that means is that Helen did mind that Lindiwe was going. And that they actually weren't talking. You know, when politicians say something, usually you must take the opposite of that as the truth.
Yes, this is true.
No, she says that certain journalists have agendas. This is Helen Zille. That they're having meetings and that she will be meeting with the Sunday Times and Business Day to discuss the way forward with them. Like she thinks some of their journalists are bad people. That always makes me very nervous when politicians try to control what journalists are doing.
Mm.
Stay the hell away, please. That is not playing a game. It's not fair.
Journalists don't have an agenda. They're not like tabloids.
Well, they might have an agenda, but so what?
No, but I mean, they're just there to report on what's happening in the world.
They're allowed to. You can't stop them. Don't try to silence anybody. This is not Nazi Germany. And speaking of politicians doing what they want, According to the Report newspaper, Kulubuse Zuma earns an oil fortune of $100 billion in the DRC.
How did that happen?
Oh, I wonder. Because Kulubuse Zuma is such a great oil magnate.
Jeez.
How do you think?
Connections.
His uncle, President Jacob Zuma, mm-hmm. played a pivotal role in the decision by DRC President Joseph Kabila to award two oil fields in the northeast of his country to Kulubuse in 2010. 8 months before Kabila's decision, in which Kulubuse was awarded two of the most prestigious oil licenses in sub-Saharan Africa, he met with his South African counterpart in Kinshasa, where the oil fields were allegedly discussed. I have an idea.
Oh, no.
Joseph, it's very nice of you to have me here. So let's talk about those oil fields. I've got just the guy. He's trying to squeeze through the door right now, but he can't fit. Open both doors. Oh, he still can't fit. I'm sorry that my big, fat, disgustingly enormous nephew can't fit through the door, but give him the oil contracts.
Yeah, but we've all got a relative or a friend who's helped us, you know, get a foot in the door.
Foot in the door, $100 billion.
$100 billion
rand oil deal for that fat man who won't make it past his 40th birthday.
But I mean, it's not like this is the first deal he's gotten. He's been given plenty of deals.
Do you remember him getting out of that car at Bekele's marriage?
No.
Wedding? Oh, my God. They showed footage of Kulubuse trying to get out of that sports car. It's like a low-slung sports car. And he's trying to get out. And
you've got to sort of get yourself into a roll, a rock and roll, so you can get up.
He had to maneuver for about 20 minutes before he could get out of the car. Disgusting. And he's got a special toilet.
No, really?
If he sits on a normal toilet, it will break and splinter under him.
Yeah.
Isn't that true, Damon? Very fat people?
No, no, no. What happens is...
No. Sound like Freddie Montashe.
What happens is that the toilet will eventually break after years, much sooner than with normal-sized people. The toilet doesn't just break straight away. Gareth, toilets are extremely tough. You don't realize that.
Have you ever broken one?
Yes.
No.
But what happens is over time, you notice that there's water on the floor. So what's happening is the toilet has leaked because there's slight cracks somewhere.
So you're telling me Kulu, when he gets onto the loo?
If a toilet's supposed to last 20 years, Kulu will do it in probably after 2 or 3 years.
That big fat backside. Can you imagine how he has to part the cheeks?
No, he has to get a special toilet.
Imagine how he has to part the cheeks so his actual hole, his asshole, has to be over the middle of the bowl. He has to push his cheeks aside.
Damon, how much do you think he weighs, Damon?
I'm guessing he weighs...
He's a big guy.
I'm guessing he weighs easily between 180 and 220. He probably weighs 200 kilograms.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Easily.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's definitely morbidly obese. Right?
Oh, it's disgusting. I just can't in my...
In fact, I'm being conservative with 200 kilograms.
What do you think he eats?
Gareth, have you done the poll, by the way, in the news?
Wait, we've got... I'll carry on until 10 if I want to.
Sorry, just checking.
What do I think he eats?
What do you think that man eats?
Isn't the question, what doesn't he eat? I mean, I don't think that he's got a thyroid problem.
Some antelope runs past him and slow enough, and he grabs hold of it and just chows down on the whole antelope.
Any convenience food.
Horns, hooves, everything. It all goes in.
Whatever he's...
And then he licks his fingers afterwards. Oh, that was a nice antelope.
Whatever he's eating is high in fat and high in sugar.
Maybe he drinks oil with sugar in it.
That's why he's going to do this oil thing.
Yeah, a teaspoon of sugar in a cup of oil. Oh.
The noises that must come out of him when he goes to the loo.
That's him just walking.
No, that's just the folds rubbing together. Oh, it's disgusting.
Oh, oh dear.
Anyway. Good luck, Kulu. Good luck with that oil deal. I don't think a lot of people will start respecting you just because you have 100 million.
I thought it was billion.
100 billion.
Billion, yeah. Sorry. Get your zeros right.
It's disgraceful. Disgraceful. Embarrassing and foul. Like the smells in the bathroom after you've just emptied three antelope and a horse that you ate.
Can you imagine the smell, hey?
Jesus.
Wow.
Must be disgusting. Let's get into the poll.
Oh, gosh, I feel ill.
Yeah, I know.
The poll was on Friday, do you think good DJs should be on air until they die? No over 30s, say 5% of the people. 37% say no over 50s.
Okay.
And 58% say yes, they should stay on until they die if they're good.
If they're good. Mm. That's the proviso, though. If they're no good, chase them.
Yeah. Today's poll, are you good at self-diagnosing your illnesses?
Hmm.
Option A, between Dr. Google and I, we usually get it right. And option B, I rely purely on professionals.
All right, well, I think... I don't really Google, huh? I trust the experts. I go to the experts.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to diagnose myself. Because if I'm wrong, the costs could be very high.
What happens with me is I want to try and describe what I'm feeling in the best way, and that's why I end up researching it.
Yeah, and then you tell the doctor.
Then I tell him what I've got.
Right, exactly. Yes. Yeah. All right, let's do the unnews, and then we're out of here. And we'll be back tomorrow. Paleontologists in Argentina found the fossils of what is likely to be the largest dinosaur ever to have roamed the Earth. The Titanosaur weighed the equivalent of more than 14 African elephants. It was plant-eating and measured about 40 meters from head to tail. This huge dinosaur was often mocked by the other dinosaurs because of his size and was a sad, lonely dinosaur, but he got an oil deal worth 100 billion rand. So all was well after that. Isn't that great? President Jacob Zuma's nephew, Kulubuse Zuma, coincidentally owns an oil fortune of 100 billion in the DRC. But Kulubuse is often mocked by his smaller counterparts in the mining world and his only friends with restaurant owners. Serbia and Bosnia are experiencing the worst flooding in over a century. This could push them out of the top 10 in the ATP and the WTA. But we'll keep an eye on that. And we will see you tomorrow, bright and early, 6 o'clock. It's very important that you realize, with peace and love, that if you don't miss the first hour and a half of the show, before we go on TV, you miss the best part. It's very important, with peace and love, that I fill you in on this important detail. You got it?